Everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the Pastor's Study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
Welcome once again to A Visit to the Pastor's Study. I'm Pastor John Shishko, guest hosting for Pastor Bill Shishko. Stop and think with me for just a moment. Where are you on a typical Monday at 3:30 p.m.? What are you up to on a normal Wednesday at 11 a.m.? What's going through your head on most Fridays at 4:59 p.m.? How long is your commute? What time do you set your alarm clock for on workdays? You spend 40 to 80 hours at work each week, getting to work, preparing for work, or maybe even just trying to find work. Do you glorify God in all this? Do you glorify God at work? In the New Testament, we read, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And we read, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." One of Christianity's many distinctions is that it's God works to create the world in 6 days before resting on the seventh, and he commands his people to do the same. Adam works in the Garden of Eden before sin entered the world. Jesus Christ came into the world and worked, not just in full-time ministry, but as a carpenter. Christianity sees work as holy, even godlike, a holy, godlike activity in which you are meant to glorify God. But do you glorify God at work? I think Christians understand that they are to worship in a distinctively Christian way, that they're meant to be distinctively Christian in their marriages, in their parenting, in their prayers and times of devotion. They understand that Bible studies and community groups and counseling sessions and outreaches, that those are all part of the Christian life. But what about work? What about 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, in the cubicle, in your emails, on your lunch meetings, in your conferences and offsites, in your sales pitches and financial planning, negotiations and phone calls, at 3:30 p.m. on Monday, 11 a.m. on Wednesday, 4:59 on Friday? Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Are you glorifying God at work? How do we do accounting to God's glory? How can lawyers do what they do to God's glory? What's the difference between a Christian investment banker and a non-Christian investment banker? What about artists and plumbers, electricians, teachers, salesmen and women, computer coders and graphic designers? How do they glorify God in whatever they do, including in all that they do while on the job? In his book, God at Work, Gene Edward Veith channels Martin Luther, and he writes, "When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to give us this day our daily bread. And he does give us our daily bread. He does it by means of the farmer who planted and harvested the grain, the baker who made the flour into bread, the person who prepared our meal. We might today add the truck drivers who hauled the produce, the factory workers in the food processing plant, the warehouse men, the wholesale distributors, the stock boys, the lady at the checkout counter. Also playing their part are the bankers, futures investors, advertisers, lawyers, agricultural scientists, mechanical engineers, and every other player in the nation's economic system. All of these were instrumental in enabling you to eat your morning bagel." In Every Good Endeavor, author and pastor Tim Keller quotes Mark Knoll and saying, "Who, after all, made the world of nature and then made possible the development of sciences through which we find out more and more about nature? Who formed the universe of human interactions and so provided the raw material for politics, economics, sociology, and history? Who is the source of harmony and form and narrative pattern and so lies behind all artistic and literary possibilities. Who created the human mind in such a way that it could grasp endless realities of nature, of human interactions, of beauty, and so make possible the theories of such matters by philosophers and psychologists? Who, moment by moment, sustains the natural world, the world of human interactions, and the harmonies of existence? Who maintains, moment by moment, the connections between what is in our minds and what is in the world beyond our minds? The answer in every case is the same. God did it, and God does it. Now and for the rest of the show, use the time to reset and reorient. You're called to think of your work as God's work. You're called to think of yourself as a Christian first, not a lawyer, an accountant, or an artist, but a Christian lawyer, a Christian accountant, a Christian artist. Your work is holy work. It's God's work. Whether it's Sunday or Monday, Wednesday or Friday, you're called to glorify God in all that you do. Do you glorify God at work? Two lawyers and a pastor walked into a radio broadcasting studio. And I'm not joking. I'm here today with two Christians, two professionals, two men who are Christians and also lawyers. They're here with me today because they don't think, quote-unquote, Christian lawyer is a contradiction or an oxymoron. They see their work as God's work, being done here on earth even as it is in heaven. And we're going to spend the next hour discussing what it means to glorify God while at work. With me today are John Coco and Chris Shishko. John and Chris, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And just by way of brief introduction, John, why don't you tell us about your work as a lawyer?
Sure. I handle predominantly personal injury cases. I only represent plaintiffs, so those are the people who are unfortunately injured by someone else. My office is in Woodbury. So most of my cases are Long Island and throughout the five boroughs.
Okay. And Chris?
I represent quite a few municipalities doing labor negotiations and also advising a lot of school districts on really just general compliance matters.
Great. Well, I mean, I know from working with a vast array of people just that when it comes to a question like this, glorifying God in everything that you do, being a Christian even while on the job for the 40 to 80 hours that you're either commuting to work or at work. The big question is always some variation of this. What's the difference? It's like all great to talk about doing everything to God's glory. But, you know, when I look at any lawyer and then someone who claims to be a Christian lawyer, it looks an awful lot like the exact same thing. So what is the difference? How are you distinctively Christian about being a lawyer? Why don't you start, John?
Sure. I think you can't really separate your faith from your work. If you are, I think that there's a problem. For me personally, my entire view of a case is different in light of the fact that I'm a Christian and that I believe when I'm meeting a person, especially somebody who's maybe has just had a devastating event in their life, being it maybe a bad car accident, construction accident, whatever it may be, I feel like I'm there in their life for a reason. God has me there to help them. So that's my overarching view of even meeting with a client. And from that perspective, it changes your outlook of the whole experience with the person. If you really believe that you're there to help them, that God wants you there, you're going to treat them differently, and they will notice it. And it comes through in a lot of different ways. Firstly, being just in your general just correspondence with that person. I've had a lot of clients say, I can't believe that you get back to me so quickly. And I'm thinking like, well, why wouldn't I? But the fact is, in everyone who's dealt with any professional, sometimes just getting someone to respond to you is hard. And if you really, if you believe you're there to treat them as Jesus would treat them, you know that you know, especially with injuries, they have concerns and there's so many questions and they're nervous and they're in financial trouble and they're hurt and they're seeing all these doctors. Like, how, you know, even at the most basic level, just getting back to them and giving them peace of mind, letting them know that you're taking care of what needs to be done, is a very, for me, that's the most important basic first step in just treating them how I think Jesus would handle their case.
That's an excellent thought, just in the most basic sort of interactions, that you're there on a mission. God has your life. He's designated certain times and interactions for you to come into other people's lives. And Jesus is somebody who connects with people. And, he's not a machine. He's not a recording. He's not an email box. He's a person. So just simply treating people as people, meeting them where they're coming from. Chris, how about you? Distinctively Christian lawyer.
I think it's a misunderstanding sometimes that you can't have Christianity as part of your job, because they seem like possibly two different things. But actually, as an attorney, I think the Bible does have some really interesting perspectives to give. When I was in law school and when we are being trained as lawyers, the best advice we get is everything you do, your reputation is the most important. Don't ever let your reputation suffer. And that there's a distinctly biblical idea behind who you are is very important. I always think of the parable of the talents, and the person charged with so much responsibility was good, and the one who was charged with a little less was good. But one person with very little responsibility did nothing. And I've always interpreted the parable to be whatever responsibility you're given, you need to take that, and it's you're responsible for it. You really need to aspire to do right by the person who's entrusted something to you. And lawyers particularly, our job is to represent a client. And I think there is a clear correlation between the biblical notion of God expects you to be responsible, God expects you to take whatever you've given and do it to the best of your ability and to the best, to the glory of God. And I think a client will say, I do want a lawyer who does that. I want a lawyer who sees this as more than just a job. This is a calling almost to zealously advocate. And I think that you always have to keep that in mind when you're dealing with your clients. I think what John said before too is just absolutely right. It reflects to your clients when they say, this person treats my matter as if it matters to them, because it does matter.
Yeah. These men with me here today, they really are lawyers, really professional lawyers out there day by day doing all the hard work involved with litigation and everything else. And they're fine Christian men, as you can hear. Yes, to whom much is given, much is required. That's explicitly in the Bible as well. So when you're out there, when you're in the trenches, so to speak, what are some other motivations you see in people you interact with? They don't have to be lawyers, but of course you interact with judges, you interact with companies, I'm sure, insurance firms, personal investigators, whatever it might be. What are some motivations that you recognize and can see clearly? This exists in my orbit, but that is not my motivation.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story. Not to use the cliches that people only care about money and power. But I did speak with an attorney in court one day, and I was talking about how I felt just so lucky and blessed to be able to do personal injury work. I know it sounds funny to some people. They're thinking, like, who would ever want to do that? You're the lowest rung of the lowest profession. But I'm thinking, this is a blessing. I'm really helping people. I'm changing their lives. And he said, well, I'll do whatever puts money in my pocket. And that really stuck with me, because I thought about, you know, that's kind of sad. That's a person who doesn't really have a calling or something they're passionate about. And that's not really the way I want to go through life. Another thing I see, though, I think more frequently, which may be even worse than only chasing after those, you know, money and power and prestige, is that many people just want to get through the week and just not really be bothered. They really some people just want to do the bare minimum. And another quick story, again, I was in court, and this was, I think, in Suffolk County. And one of the attorneys said something like, I just want to do as little as possible. And I'm thinking, and he was a defense guy, so we're usually on the plaintiff side. We're usually pushing cases ahead, and the defense, they like to slow it down to keep it away from a trial. And I was thinking, just he wanted to do as little as possible and as slow as possible. And I think that can spill over into any industry. But I think if you personally feel like you're just going through the motions, just getting through a week, maybe you should reevaluate what you're doing and find something that you think maybe is God's calling for your life, something that you're passionate about, something that you feel like you want to really be outstanding in.
Yeah, it's, you know, just listening to you, man, you use this language of calling over and over. You know, you view it as a calling, and that's with you. It's present with you in all that you do. You have a motivation that's at work that enables you to see someone who's just doing it for the money or just, you know, doing it to get through the week, which is another form of just doing it for the money. And you see, no, I'm actually at this for something else. I want to talk about something that I'm impressed with when I talk to either of you. I'm John Shishko. I'm a pastor. Chris Shishko is here with me today. He's a lawyer, my lifelong friend because he's my brother, and a good friend of mine, John Coco, also a lawyer. And what I'm always impressed with when I talk to both of you is not just a sense of calling, not just a sense of doing these things to God's glory and bringing your faith into the workplace regularly, but there's a real joy in both of you. Like when I talk to certain professionals, even lawyers, I leave saying, boy, am I glad I don't have that job. That sounds terrible. When I talk to you guys, I'm like, maybe I could be an intern for you one day. So, Chris, what is that? What brings that joy? How come you're always smiling and happy to talk about what it is to be a lawyer?
In fairness to you, I'm glad I'm not a pastor.
It's way harder.
Definitely harder. Having grown up in a pastor's home, I think there is a clear tie to the law and the Bible and really Jesus, because Jesus was the wonderful counselor.
Yes.
And that's a term that actually, unfortunately, gets thrown around a little bit in the law profession. If you go to court and you're not paying attention, instead of them, because they don't know your name, the clerk will say, counselor. And then, I was supposed to do something just now, and that's never a good feeling. But it shouldn't be thrown around. Counselor is the highest calling, I think, that lawyers have, and that is there are times when the client needs counsel. They it's not necessarily this is a problem, solve it. It's I need someone to talk to. I need advice.
Yeah.
And I need someone to help me decide what the best decision, what really needs to be done in this instance. And that's a calling that, at least for lawyers, I think is limited to this earth.
Yes.
In most situations. For an attorney, you can go home and say, I think that was helpful to them, and I think they were able to make a good choice based on the advice I gave. And I know as a pastor, you don't necessarily get to see that. Mm-hmm. If you give someone advice and it doesn't impact their eternal soul the right way, mm-hmm. you don't get to find out whether or not that person heard the message and took the counsel and it impacted them. You can wait and hope to see it in their life. And I think that's kind of a Christian tenet, is you see the work of God in somebody in the way they live their life.
Mm-hmm.
And you look for those signs of God acting on people. And for a lawyer, I think we have something similar in a much less grand way. That's when you deal with the client and things work well and they appreciate the advice and it works for them, you see the fruits of the decisions they make and how they work out.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there's nothing better than having someone say, that really worked out well. We're very pleased with this outcome. And I do think that there's an idea that you say that's the type of work that I believe God would expect of me, is to, really do everything I can to get the best outcome possible for a client.
I mean, that one similarity between what the three of us do is not only do we help people, but our profession is helping people and even being paid to help people in all three of our cases. Another thing I'm struck with in our conversations and in the world we live in, I mean, it is thought of that, like, you can't be a lawyer, and especially not, John, a personal injury lawyer. You can't be that and a Christian. That's an oxymoron along the lines of a jumbo shrimp. When I listen to you men, it's like, think about it. Jesus says, I'm not changing anything about what? The law. Not a jot or a tittle of the law. Psalm 1, and Jesus is the ultimate blessed man of Psalm 1. But the blessed man, how blessed is the man who does what? Meditates on the law of God day and night. You know, what are the first five books of the Bible? The law. I mean, you can summarize all of God's word in that word, the law. And a lawyer, you know, the word is right in it. You're lawyers. So I love that, again, this is part of your motivation and part of what you're all about. We're going to take a real quick break and hear from our sponsors just a little bit about this show and how it's brought to you today. And we'll be right back after.
That great city, New York. Metropolitan New York is the largest city in the United States. And with a population of over 20 million people, Metro New York is one of the largest cities in the world. And what's more, Metro New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the Metro New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Metro New York are America's richest and most neglected. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is planting and developing biblically faithful churches and church ministries in the Metro New York area. Through Reformation Metro New York, you can help promote the outreach of this program, a visit to the pastor's study, and other projects designed to further the ongoing reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. For more information, check out the website at reformationmetrony.org, where you'll get a personal look at the ministries of the churches, pastors, evangelists, and teachers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the area, and you'll learn how you can be a part of our labors. We need your help. Here's the site again, reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. Now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Once again, I'm Pastor John Shishko here, and the number here in the studio is 631-955-5400. That's 631-955-5400. We are here today. We're connecting Sunday with Monday and every other day of the week. We're talking about how you glorify God, not just in church-related activity, but at the workplace, in the cubicle, on the telephone, and through your email. I'm here with two different lawyers, my brother Chris Shishko and my good friend John Coco, and we're talking about what it means for them to be Christian first and then lawyer second. And I want to turn our attention to something that is sadly missing in these discussions, and that is really excellence in the workplace. I think anybody that's been around church life long enough says, when you come across the Christian yellow pages, avoid it at all costs. You know, call people who are not Christians and don't ever do business with a Christian. And that's so sad, because if we're meant to do work to God's glory, it demands some level of excellence. So how has your motivation being God and His glory led to excellence in the workplace, John?
Well, firstly, I like to think that we are really called to be outstanding and at the top of our professions as Christians. There's, as far as I've seen in the Bible, there's nothing about how great of a carpenter Jesus was, but I'm thinking he was doing a good job. I didn't see any complaints in there either. So, you know, what would Jesus's carpentry business look like? You would think he was taking pride in his work and had great customer service and probably a well thought out business plan. So I'm just speculating. But I like to use that to think of what does he expect from me? Well, he expects me really to be the best that I can be with the skill set that he gave me. Mm. And well, what does that look like as a personal injury attorney? Well, it looks like I am called to be studying, you know, the law, reading about how to be better at this, going to, you know, extra continuing legal education in any way I can get better, and just doing the absolute best job, because God forbid I, you know, don't get the best possible result for someone when they're in this terrible situation. I feel like that would just be tragic. So I feel like it is a burden that he wants us just to be excellent in our professions, regardless of what it is. And that practically speaking, you're going to be, just by being that excellent professional, you're going to be known as someone who's just great at what they're doing. And it shouldn't be a surprise to people that you are a Christian, because these things should just be integrated together.
Mm. Chris?
You know, I think there's a notion that to say that you are of a particular religion means that you have to preach to everyone and try to convince them of your own religion. And I think that that's – I actually think it's incorrect. I think that particularly in a profession where you represent people, and you don't – you can't take your clients and say, you have to believe what I believe. In fact, you shouldn't. You should not be doing those things. Mm. But you can represent through your own actions the what you hope to portray about your own religion. So if you believe that you have to do good work and that you should care, and you should not be calling your client and saying, do you believe what I believe? You should be saying, you know, I hope that the way you come away from this relationship is saying, that's a person I respect very much. The attitude that they took, the work product they produced, it's not just a reflection of that person, but I see that that's a reflection of the beliefs that they have in their life. And I think that's one of the best ways in a world where it's no longer really acceptable to insist that people agree with you on what you believe, to say, look, I'm not going to come here and tell you to do this, but I am going to, you know, proudly say, look, this is a reflection of who I am. I hope that whatever opinion you may have of my religion or my beliefs, that I'm a testament to what you maybe even changing your mind to say, well, I've always thought of a Christian as, either obnoxious or someone I avoided because I didn't want them to, you know, make me feel uncomfortable about my own beliefs. But I think when you do good work and you care about things, I do think that even people of different religions will say that that person is someone I respect.
Right.
And I do think that's important for not just professionals and not just lawyers, but really all Christians, to say, whatever you do, make sure that you are a reflection of not just a work ethic, but also your religious belief.
It's so true, and it's remarkable, again, and within Christian circles. You know, we've already referred to the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says he doesn't change anything about the law. That's the same sermon where Jesus, you know, he doesn't say, blessed are the mediocre and the lazy, because they're going to die and go to heaven anyway. And then later on, he says, so let your light shine before others, not that they hear what you believe, but so that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Same thing with, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Well, you don't hear a city set on a hill, you see it. You see it all lit up. And so that's just a beautiful testimony that, again, in the New Testament, we didn't come in word only, but in power. You know, the power is in your actions, how you treat people, how you connect with people, how you respect your own job and the people that you work with. That's a wonderful testimony in itself. Excellence in the workplace. I want to take a moment and reiterate that we welcome you to call into the show. It's kind of a fun topic and one that never gets enough attention. How do you connect Monday with Sunday, Monday through Friday, the workplace, and your Christian faith? Our number is 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. And I want to remind you that this show is a Visit to the Pastor Study. You can visit us online at visitthepastorsstudy.org. And you'll find there archives of shows from the past. We cover topics like this one, topics that come to you and the everyday life of a Christian. We've covered things like how we should respond to abortion, what we should think about politics as Christians. We've talked about how to read the Bible and better understand it. Check out visitthepastorstudy.org, and that will lead you to healthy churches that you are more than welcome to visit, and also previous shows that will help you in your Christian walk in life. So visit thepastorstudy.org. I'm John Shishko. The regular host of the show is Bill Shishko, and he'll be back with you next week. But I'm guest hosting today, and the number is 631-955-5400. I'm here with Chris Shishko, a lawyer, and John Coco, another lawyer, and we're talking about what it means to glorify God at work and to be Christians on the job.
John, I got a question.
Sure.
Via text message.
Excellent.
What if you're in a job that you don't feel called to be in, you feel stuck in this job?
Excellent.
As a Christian, what do you do with that situation? You need to work, you need to pay the bills, but you don't feel like this is something you've been called to do or you're passionate about. How do you respond to that?
It's a great question. I'm going to ask you men for advice too on this one. This comes up a lot with me, and there's a knee-jerk response as a Christian, which is, basically comes down to, well, just keep doing what you're doing and learn through the affliction and the trials, and you're going to learn even through trial and suffering, and you have responsibility to work 6 days a week, and et cetera, et cetera. But there's also the bigger side of the conversation is each person is unique, and God really never says thou shalt be an accountant or a lawyer or a teacher. We do have these liberties and freedoms. So, in fact, in the New Testament, when slavery was this massive institution in the Roman Empire and many people's occupation was to be a slave, Paul would say, if you can get freedom, get freedom. So he's saying, make a massive life change if you're able. So my counsel tends to be, let's have a long-term plan and a short-term one. You are called to work 6 days. You need to provide for your family. You might, if you want to be a lawyer or an accountant or an actor or an artist long-term, that doesn't mean you need to start, Monday morning at 8 o'clock. So what I typically advise, and I'd love to hear you men on this, my typical advice is, what's your dream job? What do you really want to do? And now what's your day job today? And why don't we come up with a plan to make your day job collide with your dream job? And the reason I appeal to that is that's my history. That's my autobiography. I enjoyed banking very much. I enjoyed being a Christian professional. I enjoyed working on Wall Street and all of that. And yet that wasn't my dream job. I wanted to become a pastor. And it was a 12-year plan from me being 19 to basically 31 when I was ordained as a minister, in which I worked in various ways, including, studying Hebrew and Greek on the train into the city and all that. It was a 12-year collision course between my day job and my dream job, which the Lord really blessed. So, what's that like for you? You didn't just wake up a lawyer one day.
No, actually, I was into my late 20s a professional musician, and when people find out now, they say, "Oh, that's odd that you went into law." But as I did that and played and taught guitar, and even when I was younger, I did auto mechanics in high school and for several years after. I'm thinking back and thinking, I can't recall a work situation where I was miserable, and part of that question I think is a little loaded in that. You're thinking you should feel a certain thing because of a job, but I think that the flip side of that coin is that you should just be content in what you're doing. And I'm not saying you have to be happy with every day at work, but if you find that you're in your 30s or 40s and you haven't liked one job in your whole life, there might be a deeper issue that as to why that is. But I do know it would be a tragedy if you go through your entire life and you don't spend a day, a work day doing something that you really love. So I agree with you that you should find, and I've asked people the same thing, what do you love to do? What are you passionate about? And they say, well, it's, painting, but there's no way I can make money doing that. And it's always going to be, something I do on the weekends. And I think that's not true. I think with the kind of plan you were talking about and speaking with wise counsel, you could always find ways to make your passion into a career. And when those are together, you're going to find that your work week flies by and that you're looking forward to it. And on Monday, you're saying TGIM.
Yeah, that's right. Thank God it's Monday. I love this about the two men here. They're a real appreciation and joy in work. Well, John, I mean, I think there again, you come back to this language we don't really think too often about, glorifying and enjoying things. But thank God the Bible never says whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, just make sure you make money. You know, it has this idea that even if you are making money, and of course you have to provide, you're glorifying God. So if you're painting and you believe your painting glorifies God, why wouldn't you ask if you couldn't do that full time?
And money is always, it's always going to be there. Jesus spoke about money more than any other topic, as far as I know. And it wasn't a command to love it, but it's part of our society. We need to eat and do other things. But I can tell you, as far as the cases I do, if you start thinking about money as your primary consideration, you will start making very poor decisions for the client right off the bat. So that needs to be, I think, an outflow of just doing an excellent job and doing the best you can. And you know, as far as success coming, I think that if you are starting to be recognized as one of your industry leaders and someone who's just diligent and somebody who won't give up fighting, that those other things will come, but they should never be a focus, I think.
Chris, we were talking before the show about what has led up to you becoming a lawyer. And how did you get to the place where you are now?
I think I always knew I wanted to be a lawyer for really as long as I can remember, but it's a path. It takes a long time, and I think what I've learned through the process was I don't think there are a lot of wrong decisions in life. I think you act and then you course correct, and you once you've set a path, you need to follow it, and you need to make more decisions that help get you to a goal. Clearly, if you don't have a goal in mind and you're making decisions, that's a very difficult place to be, because you're setting a course and you don't know where you're going. I remember I started working in the legal profession when I was 19. I worked for an investigator, and I spent a lot of time working with attorneys, and there were attorneys who I grew to respect, and there were attorneys who I said, I don't want to be like that attorney for whatever reason. And that was really helpful, because when I was making the decision whether to go to law school, which in and of itself is a big decision, it's a costly decision too, so it's something you really do have to think very hard about. I was in a good position to be able to ask people, do you think I'll do well as an attorney? Do you think this makes sense? And obviously their advice is not going to tell me whether I will or will not do it, but it definitely set sort of a precedent for me to say, when you are an attorney and you become experienced, there's going to be a time when someone comes to you for advice, and they may or may not listen to you, but they are coming to you presumably because they respect you very much. And so that was helpful for me. And probably some of the best advice I got was from one of my professors in college, who said, when you get to law school, you need to commit to putting everything you have into doing as well as you can into law school, because if you can do very well, you will. But if you don't really commit to it, it's very easy to just get through it. And he said something that I actually think is true in the profession, which is half of the people you went to school with, they're not even going to be prepared. So he said maybe they will be, but it's unlikely. And he said, as an attorney, you can be better than half of the attorneys out there just by really being prepared every day. And that was good advice, not just for law school, but also in the practice. And I do think it all relates back to that notion of saying, whatever I do, I'm going to do it as well as I possibly can. If I lose a case, I don't want to lose because I wasn't prepared.
Right,
I want to
right.
lose because the facts were not on my side, or the law simply is on the side of the other party. I can't imagine how terrible I would feel if I said, I lost that case because I didn't do my job.
What a remarkable reminder, too, of what we've already talked about. If it's only whatever puts money in my pocket, if it's only whatever gets me fastest through the work week, then why are you going to spend time, all the time in the world, on preparation to make sure you walk in and do an excellent job? It's like this idea of I'm laboring for God and for His glory. I'm doing God's work here on earth. I'm Christ-like to my clients and the people I interact with. It changes everything.
Right. It makes it easier because if you really love it, you're going to be great at it. And I can tell you, I just had a birthday, and a couple of books that I got for myself were all about law and, you know, trial tactics, you know, how to do a more effective deposition, which is really like a basic, you know, first part of a case. But if you really love it, you're just going to be at night, you'll be reading about these kind of things, and it makes it easier to be prepared, and it makes it easier to be excellent at it, which again goes back to feeling like you're doing what you should be doing in life.
Thank you. We got to take another real quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
It's not enough to listen to pastors on the radio or to watch them on television. Everyone needs a biblically faithful pastor, and everyone needs a biblically faithful church. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in the metropolitan New York area. We're no substitute for a faithful pastor in a local church, but we are a supplement. Visit our website, www.visitthepastorsstudy.org, and you'll find the ministry of this program extended right to your electronic device. Here you'll find archives of past programs, a weekly message from Pastor Bill's Pastor's Post, helps for pastors, helps for congregation members, material for officer training, and much more. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. And we also invite you to contact the host of this program, Pastor Bill Shishko. You can email him at visitpastorbill@gmail.com. He'd love to hear from you so that he can bring his pastoral ministry to you personally. That's visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Remember, everyone needs a pastor. And now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
John Shishko here, Pastor John Shishko here with two Christians who are lawyers by calling, and talking about the challenges, but also the joy of performing their callings to God's glory in the workplace. Call in, if you can, 631-955-5400. We'd love to hear from you. And what I want to do now is just mention something I've come across. I've come across this fellow online. Well, actually, I met him in person, and he's also got a pretty significant online presence. His name is Chip Roper, Dr. Chip Roper. And he heads up the Manhattan New Canaan Society, is what it's called, the New Canaan Society. And this fellow, Chip Roper, his entire life at this point revolves around working with Christian professionals in the New York area, either through the New Canaan Society or off in his own marketplace faith. He runs something called a Voca Center, which is basically a calling center where they offer counseling for people. And I want to make, you know, you can Google Dr. Chip Roper and Marketplace Faith or the Voca Center or Manhattan New Canaan Society, and you can read more about it. But I say that all because there are ways out there to be more intentional about your Christian faith on the job, whether it's investment banking, accounting, teaching, whatever it might be. And I'd like for our listeners to know about that. And I want to talk to you men about really what it means to be a what keeps you sharp, not just in your profession, but as Christians in your professions. Before we go there, we do have a caller, Arthur from Hudson. Welcome to the show. How can we answer a question or respond to a comment?
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for having this program. It's a wonderful topic. Just to take you down a little different path than the legal profession.
Thank you. Yeah,
I have. I'm self-employed, and I recently had to decided to write a mission statement for my company, and it is glorifying God by the work of our hands. And so,
wow.
Obviously, we ebb and flow in that throughout the course of my week. Always trying to stay close to God's word and focus, you know, the attention of everything that I do towards giving Him glory. But I wanted to say, and my wife called me away for lunch, so I missed part of your program. So please excuse me if you spoke to this. But it's kind of interesting, and maybe you can speak to this a little bit, how, especially for men, our work seems to be very much a part of our sense of identity, a sense of who we are. And I know that in the grander sense, my identity is rooted in who I am in Christ. But at least on the terra firma, for men, and I'm not being chauvinistic or anything like that,
of course,
but I think more typically and that sense of identity is very much rooted in what we do. And I noticed that quite a bit in interactions with men and men's ministries and men that I come in contact with, that you know, the topic of conversation seems to gravitate around our work. What do you do? Is a great opening remark. So perhaps you could discuss that a little bit more and expand on that.
Yeah, excellent, Arthur. Thank you so much. I appreciate the call. Exactly. We spend 40 to 80 hours of work doing something, and especially as men, we're going to talk about that. We're going to identify ourselves as that. These men will gladly say they are lawyers by profession. That's their identity. It's not exclusively their identity, but let's talk about that. I know something I try to get at is, being a lawyer in this case, or whatever you are, a carpenter, a plumber, a pastor, that's part of your identity. But first and foremost is the fact that you're a Christian doing God's work as a lawyer or as an accountant or as a teacher. But Chris, what are your thoughts?
I think all professionals really deal with the identity of my person combines with my profession. Mm. And I think I know that when I became an attorney, I had a discussion with my now wife about this being a life and saying, I need you to understand, if we're going to be together for the rest of our lives, that you're not marrying me and this is my job. You're marrying a lawyer. There will be days when the whole day is consumed by this, and this is not just a job. But I think all professionals, men and women, see this as a struggle between do I retain any identity of my own outside of my profession? Am I completely absorbed by this? And I think there's a parallel to Christianity. I think when you commit to a profession, it takes over your life. But that's a choice you had to make, and I think you have to do it as part of everything you do in your life. I know on the weekends when I'm not in the office, I'm still thinking and I'm still concerned, and there's still a perspective. In fact, going back to the whole concept of your reputation, you can't turn off people's perception of you just because you're not in the office today.
Yeah.
So you need to, I think all professionals have to keep that in mind at all times.
It is fascinating to see throughout the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, the profession is never looked down on. So you have prophets of God that are shepherds of sheep. Of course, you have tons and tons of farmers throughout the Bible. Jesus was a carpenter. St. Paul was a tent maker. You have all of these instances of, the disciples, they're fishermen by trade. So it's never looked at as, well, the good life is not working. It's like the good life, according to every page of the Bible, is having some profession through which you glorify God. John, what about you? Christian identity. I know we've talked about this, the fact that, you know, I don't know, remember if it was you or a friend of yours saying, I'm doing God's work. But that idea.
Yeah. Just to add to what Chris said, I think it's one pitfall in when you're in a profession that you think is really cool, like we are, or when you're in a place that you really love, is just having it overtake every aspect of your life. I am an attorney, and I understand I have a huge responsibility to my clients, especially since I only deal with injured people. And sometimes on a Sunday, they're going to call me, and they're just nervous, and they need my help. And my whole family understands that. But you have to try and keep that balance of not having it overtake your life, that's a struggle because, I was just saying to somebody the other day, if my family's away or they're out late, I'll stay at work and I love it. So, you know, when you love what you're doing, you could be there all day and the hours fly by. But I think it's important to just retain your identity in Christ, in that if you weren't, you know, a great banker or a great artist or a great something else, you're still good enough. You're still as God wanted you to be, and you're still, you know, his creation. So you don't need to be anything beyond just being here.
Right.
To be accepted and to be loved. And I think that why men, I think, often talk about what they do is because they take great pride in it, which is great. But also sometimes we feel like we don't have anything else that we've done, and this is our way of proving, look how great I am. I did this, which is a danger. And I think it's something we have to be careful about.
We're going to squeeze in one more caller. We have Lauren from Port Chester. Lauren, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Sisko. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad at all. It's not nice day out. Anyhow, let me just cut to the chase here. Okay?
Sure.
I think when it comes to, like, with the beginning of the program, like, about how do you connect the dots on all the days, is one of the things that I've always been impressed with is the Sermon on the Mount. Like, you know the lofty heights of the law that Christ says, and also the Beatitudes, and, you know, the other parts of the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are things that I believe as a Christian one needs to be concerned about all the time of the day. Like, in other words, on the way to church tomorrow, if somebody does something stupid on the road and cuts before them, you don't say, you might feel that first, but you don't say, "Oh, what a jerk!" Because I mean, even though it might be stupid what he did, you don't yell, "Oh, you big jerk!" But on the same thing, when you go to work on Monday, you don't call the person, you think of the person as a big jerk, then either. You know, like, there are things. About that sermon that no matter where you are, that one needs to be mindful about. Now, I'm not saying that I don't have trouble, that I don't fail a lot at that sermon. I mean, any believer would tell you that. But at least there's a blueprint of what you're supposed to be concerned with through the power of Christ.
All right, Lauren, thanks so much for the call. Yeah, you hit on it, what we don't have enough time to open up in all the different ways, but it's exactly right. I mean, what we're saying, glorify God in whatever you do. Well, lawyering is part of whatever you do for many of us, especially John Coco and Chris Shishko here with me today. Pastoring is part of whatever I do. And driving to work in the morning and dealing with road rage and crazy drivers is what a lot of other people and the rest of us are always dealing with. So it's certainly something that for everybody to keep in mind. Part of why I wanted to have two lawyers on the show is, sadly, people, Christians, they do think Christian lawyer is an oxymoron, or especially Christian personal injury lawyer. But one thing I get from my brother Chris and John is when you have an industry that really is full of corruption, that is full of lying and cheating, whether it's politics or personal injury lawyers or some other industry, it's the Christian perspective ought to be, we need more Christians there, not less. And we need more people saying, I'm going to be intentionally Christian in my profession, even though I'm working constantly with cheats, liars, and thieves. And whether that's politics or lawyers or another profession, I look forward to seeing more of that. I've mentioned that people should Google New Canaan Society and see if there's a chapter in their area. Google this fellow, Chip Roper, and his Marketplace Faith and his Voca Center in Manhattan for more on these topics. I'm John Shishko, guest hosting, as I've said, for Pastor Bill Shishko, and the website is visitthepastorsstudy.org. Brothers, thanks so much for being with me on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to just go ahead and close us in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for these overarching principles that apply to all of us in whatever we do. We thank you for a motivation that is so much better than having money as a motivator or laziness as a motivator, that we actually get to glorify you in our jobs, in our occupations, in our lawyering, in our pastoring, in our radio broadcasting. We thank you for all of this and ask that you would continue to bless us to be like Christ in what we do, say, and think. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.